I want to preach tonight on the subject of the commission of the Lord's church. This is given to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Both these are familiar verses to you. Follow with me, if you will, please, as I read these verses. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are thankful and grateful for your goodness, mercy, and love. We recognize that what we are is merely by according to your grace. We know that we do not merit or deserve anything that you've done for us. We are so thankful that you've saved us, and then pleased you not only save us, but place us in the Lord's church. Then to give us the privilege of serving you in and through this church. We always stand in need of your presence and power, and we know without you that we can do, there's not anything that we can do without you. But we realize that all things are possible with you. We know that this that you've written here was given to your churches. And we're thankful, Lord, that you have not only commissioned us, but you've empowered us to carry out this commission. This is why we earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is why that we always are faithful in serving you, because that we know that it's not in vain. We know that it's according to your word, according to your will. It is the way that you have designed for us as a New Testament church. Help us not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We need to always recognize that our strength is not within ourselves, but our strength is in the Lord. We need to recognize that you lead us and guide us and direct us. And the blessings come from you, so we are totally dependent upon you all the time. Thankful, Father, that you've seen fit to allow this church to be in existence, and that you made us a part of it, as well as these others here that are here tonight. I pray that you would enable us and help us, Lord, to not lose sight of what you have given us to do, and not lose sight of what is in store for us as we faithfully serve you and through this church. Now, I pray that you would help us always to be mindful of your way, that you'd help us and direct us away from our ways, and help us always to keep our eyes upon you, upon your way. Now guide us and direct us and lead us, and forgive me of my sin. In Christ's name I ask it all. Amen. These scriptures or verses that's used here, of course, some would believe are commission that was given to men as individuals rather than the commission that was given to the Lord's church. We do know at this time that there was a symbol there, those that the Lord had first placed in his church and was the nucleus of the church. And of course, he designs or lays out for us here what that New Testament Baptist churches are to be doing and to be putting into practice. Now I believe that God ordained these. And I believe that it pleases him to use these things and for us when we follow this order. I heard of years ago when I was in school, that's in Baptist College, a man that he preached on the order of the commission. And what he emphasized is that this order is never changed. You don't reverse it. Or you don't take one thing out and say, well, I think it ought to be here or it ought to be there, but he preached, and this was years ago, and he preached on the order of the commission. God gave it, the Lord gave it exactly the way he intended for it to be carried out by his churches. So I believe that in this we can see that God ordained some means for this commission to be carried out. If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, and I want us to notice there, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 1 and verse 2. Now, we're talking about the means that God gave for his churches to carry out this commission. He says in this passage of Scripture, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I believe in carrying out the commission, God ordained it to be so that the means that would be used in carrying out the commission was through the preaching of the word. I believe this is the primary responsibility of every true New Testament Baptist church. And I don't believe that we ought to let anything deviate, cause us to be deviated from this or to get sidetracked from the means that God has ordained in carrying out this commission. In essence, what I'm saying is there can be no substitute for the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, there's some things I believe that are good. Singing is a great thing. It has its place. God designed for it to have its place. But we ought never to substitute singing for preaching. The preaching of the Word always is to have preeminence. I try to continually talk with my brethren and some of the younger preacher brethren, and they come up with some good ideas and some good things. And I said, now, what you got to remember is don't ever get this thing turned around and let something have the preeminence and take first place that God didn't design for it to be. And so, first of all, I believe the means to carry out this commission is preaching the Word of God. I believe that Paul emphasized this to Timothy. Because God designed it to be this way, that the preaching of the word is used to bring about salvation. Now that's the way he designed it to be. And salvation is not brought about any other way than by the preaching of the word of God. And God ordained, or God designed for it to be. Now I don't fancy people going off somewhere and watching a movie and making a profession of faith. I don't fancy that. I'm like Brother Gormley. Brother Gormley said, you know, it's strange to him that he can have people that will come to his church and they witness with him and talk to them, and they can go somewhere else with some other means and immediately they make a profession of faith. Now I think something's wrong. I think something is dead wrong there. God gave his design, and God ordained the means whereby that men and women and boys and girls would be saved.
Amen.
And that's the preaching of the word.
Amen.
Now there ain't any other design. God only has one design. I think what happens a lot of times is there's a lot of easy believism and a lot of professions that are twisted out of people, or people are forced to make. But God designed through the preaching of the word. Now, let's show you what God's design really was, and to preach the word to use to bring salvation. Mark chapter 16, if you'll notice there, in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, in verse 15, Listen to what Jesus said. And I think this carries that thought when Paul said to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, it carries this. Now Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, now this is Jesus' word, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. It's very simple what God's design is. God's design is for his disciples and his churches to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now you can come up with a lot of newfangled ideas and thoughts, and people think today that they say, well, you can't do the same thing. That's the problem today. People want to get away from God. They want to get away from God's way. And they may come up with some kind of results. But I don't believe that God blesses that which is not according to the way that he has ordained or the way that he has designed. I don't care what kind of results men get. God said it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so the idea or the thought was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So the means that God has provided us as a church to carry out this commission is the preaching of the word. And may the Lord help us that we would never even be tempted or let anything cause us to deviate from the means that God has ordained, and that's the preaching of the word.
Amen.
Now I believe and I have confidence that this church would be mightily disappointed if you gathered together for a meeting and something happened besides the preaching of the word. Now don't you think you'd be disappointed? I definitely believe that you would. And rightfully so, because I believe you know this truth, and I know this truth, that this is the way that God has designed to bring about the salvation of his people, and that is through the preaching of the gospel. Well, if he had aimed for people to be saved any other way, he wouldn't have told them to go preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I believe that other scriptures that bear out this truth, if you'll look with me in the book of Luke, and there in chapter 24 of the book of Luke, and in verse 47, now you'll notice here that the Lord Jesus was talking to them and telling them to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and he told them something that was going to take place. He said, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so I believe that it is emphatically declared and brought out here that there must be and there is a necessity to be the preaching of the word.
Amen.
You see why I'm leery? When I hear of all these people being saved and professions of faith, and there was no preaching of the word. You see why I'm leery about it? I'm just downright disappointed when I hear that happen or come about, because I know somebody, the devil's been meddling. It's exactly what I know, because I know that it is not God's way and it's not God's design. But men come up with a lot of devices and a lot of ideas and a lot of ways. Paul, when he was talking to the church at Corinth, and I believe that, now we're talking about the means that God has ordained for the carrying out of the commission. And he said in the very first letter, in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 18, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I'm leery of any congregation that when they meet together and call themselves a church, that would rather do something else than to have the preaching of the Word of God. I'm leery. And then he goes on and said in this 18th verse, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now here's why that I'm leering. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And so I know, I believe, you know, you believe that there cannot be any substitute for God's ordained means of carrying out the commission. And that is the preaching of the Word of God. Now sometimes, you know, the flesh will cause you to think things or say things that you ought not. And I know that lots of times, probably children or young people, you know, they come to church because they have to. Because they're made to. I mean, you know that. Let's face that. I mean, that's exactly what happens. And sometimes to them, they think that it would be much more enjoyable if we could do something while we're here besides have preaching. Because really to them it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God and salvation. And we know of the necessity of it. And we know that God has ordained it to be so. Then if you look at Paul when he was speaking to the church at Thessalonica, and he said there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and there in verse 5 of the book of Thessalonians, and it said, and I believe that this carries with it the same thought or the same idea, the means that God has designed to carry out the commission is the preaching of the word. And he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. And I realize that we know that there's more to this thing than just the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of the word of God. But we do know it is a necessity, it is the ordained means that God has for us to carry out the commission, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So we see that God is ordained. As we as the New Testament church carry out the commission, that the means that he has given us is first of all to preach the Word of God. And that is a necessity. It's what God has ordained. It's what God has designed. It's not left up to us what we prefer or what we think or what we'd rather have. But it's what God wants and it's what God designed. Amen. So the preaching of the Word is used to bring salvation. But then, you know, even as I thought about this morning and preached, now, there's more to this thing than God designed than just getting people saved. And I hear that a lot. I hear churches that spend their entire ministry with only one thing in mind, and that's getting people saved. That's all they talk about. That's all you ever hear preached from their pulpit. That's all they ever seemingly want to do. Well, we do know that is part of God's design. That is seeing people saved through the preaching of the Word of God. But the Word of God, as a means of carrying out the commission, is used for more than bringing salvation. What benefit is it to God's glory if after these people are saved, if they're not mature, or if they don't grow, what will their lives amount to, or what will their lives, how will their lives be to the glory of God? So the Word of God, the preaching of the Word is not only used to bring salvation, but it's also used to bring sanctification. And we know that, there's the absolute part of it, and there's the progressive part of it. Did not Jesus himself say in the 17th chapter of the book of John, and there in the 17th verse, now we're talking about carrying out the commission. We're talking about what Jesus said himself to his disciples there in Matthew 28:18-20. And I believe that a church has to understand what the commission is, and they have to understand what God's design of the commission is. And I believe as a church, we're responsible to the Lord to carry out this commission the way that the Lord designed for us to carry that. Amen. So, after people are saved, and I'm going to tell you, that's something that's heavy on my heart, and I believe ought to be heavy on your heart, seeing people saved. Now, I can't question God as to why we're not having people saved. But I'm human. I wonder. I wonder many times. And I think the biggest thing that the first place we need to start with is it me. And that's where we need to start. We don't need to start, is it Bobby or is it Adrian? But we need to start with, is it me? Is it me that is the stumbling block, or it's holding things back, or maybe it's standing in the way? I don't mean you that are more powerful than God. I'm not talking about that. But I believe that God has ordained and God has designed and devised some means. Now, Jesus said in John 17, in verse 17, and the Word of God is the means that God has ordained for us to carry out the commission, and we're responsible as a church to carry out the commission. And the word is preached to see people saved. That's the way God's ordained it. But then for sanctification, he said, sanctify them. Now these are the ones that through the preaching of the gospel that the Holy Spirit has enabled to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they're saved by the power of God. But it doesn't stop that. Now to a lot of people, you'd think that was all of it. You see, that's all that you ever hear. And I realize, and I know sometimes as independent Baptists and sometimes as Baptists that we do not put as much emphasis on soul winning as some do. But what kind of soul winning are they doing? And what are they talking about when they're talking about soul winning? I talked to a good preacher friend of mine, and he was talking about he had sort of gone into another group from the independents, and he said, I said, you know, I always try to affiliate with those brethren and give them T.P. Simmons and see if I can be a help to them. And he said, well, you know, we could learn a lot from them. And I said, we sure could. But what is it we're going to learn? Are we going to learn Arminianism? Are we going to learn easy believism? Are we going to learn decisionism? Is that what we're going to learn? Are we going to dishonor God's word? Are we going to dishonor God's way? Is that what we're going to learn? I don't want it.
Amen.
And I'm not interested in it. And so I believe that the Word of God is not only used to preach to bring salvation, but it's used to bring sanctification. So after people are saved, then this is as much a part of the commission as anything else. And that is, after they're saved, then they need to be progressively sanctified. Set apart for holy use and for the service of the Lord. And this is what he says here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so this is God's design and this is God's means. And I believe that the Word of God is used then for us to come to the place as to where that we have and are purposefully used in the service of the Lord. The word that we see of the need of faithfully serving the Lord and faithfully serving Him. Now, I found out a long time ago that the greatest blessing to me was when the Lord enabled me to see that you can't make people, you can't put people in line. I have some preacher brethren that are good friends of mine, and I feel sorry for their people. I feel sorry for them and their people too. And I don't say this boastfully, but I say that, you know, what good does it do apart from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to make somebody make some kind of profession of faith? What good does it do? None. What good does it do then, after they are saved, to try to whip them in line or shame them to where that they'll live like they ought to? Doesn't do a bit of good. They'll just return right back. You know, that's sort of a type of reformation. It takes the Word of God and it takes the Holy Spirit, and that's why we preach the Word of God. That's why there's a continual need to preach the Word of God. And the Word of God, not only to see people saved, but to see people progressively sanctified and set upon by the Word of God. So it is used to, I believe, bring service. Romans 12:1 speaks of this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
So we, by the word of God, see them saved, and we see them separated, and we see them in the service of the Master, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the propagation of the word of God, there, I believe there are helpful ways to propagate the word of God. I'm not against books. Now, books have their place. I've been asked through the years, Brother Harvey, what's the best book for me to have? And I said, well, the best book for you to have is the Bible. And the best commentary, they said, what's the best commentary on the Bible? The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible.
Amen.
It's the best commentary. People say, well, you ought not to run references. Well, where should you run? I mean, if you can't trust the Bible, the Word of God, what can you go to? And I say the only thing you need is a Bible and a dictionary just to understand what the words mean.
Yeah.
And if you want to use a concordance, that's all right too. It just looks up where you can find it in the Bible. Now, there are helpful ways, I believe, and there's nothing wrong with books, and there's nothing wrong with tracts. There's nothing wrong with tapes. There's nothing wrong with preaching on the radio. And there's nothing wrong with the TV. Yeah, that's an understatement, isn't it? That is truth that's preached through that means. That's a better clarified thing. But all of these are ways that I believe that a local church can use and can spread the gospel, but I believe that it was designed through the preaching of the Word of God. When you get sidetracked and when you get caught up in TV, radio, tapes, tracts, books, and forget about the preaching of the Word, then I believe that you're in trouble. And you get away from the way that God designed. We realize that these are ways that the local church can spread the gospel. But I would that we'd never minimize the truth of the local church through these, or use these as a crutch, or use these as a substitute for the preaching of the Word of God. So the means that God has designed for us to carry out the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20 is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and effectually using the Word of God in the place that it needs to be used. Now there's some methods. Not only has God given His churches the means, but He's given them some methods. Turn with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts and look with me there in verses 1-3. And this is talking about the church that was at Antioch. Now, we're talking about carrying out the commission. Now, we're responsible to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a church that we carry out the commission, but that we carry it out the way that He's designed for it to be carried out. And we're not to deviate from that. And this is the point that I'm trying to make. Now, there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, Paul Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Mananium, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, I am happy that the Lord has chosen to use His church. And this is exactly what's being said here in Acts 13:1. Now, because it's so clear to me, it says, now there were in the church. Not out of the church, but there were in the church. And that makes all the difference in the world. This is God's design, and this was God's method. I like to hear a missionary stand up and say, now, and I'm not trying to be picky about this, but I like to hear a missionary say, I am a missionary of certain and certain Baptist church. Now, I don't understand when they say, I am a missionary out of. I don't fully understand that. Y'all might understand that. But I don't understand it. God didn't design for a man to be out of. He designed for a man to be a missionary or a member of a church. Of a New Testament church. And I believe that the design is given here. Now, I'm not so naive that I understand that people sometimes use terminology loosely. And I wouldn't jump down somebody's throat about this, because many times missionaries, it doesn't make any difference to them what they say along these lines. But you'll notice here in this church, and we're talking about methods. We're talking about the method of carrying out the commission. Now, what was the commission that was given to the Lord's church? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, how am I going to go into all the world? How are you going to go into all the world? I'm not able to, and you ain't either, as an individual. But this church can go into all the world and preach the gospel, or preach the word of God. And God has not only ordained the means, but God has ordained the method how that we can do this. Verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And I underline this, for the work whereunto I have called them. For the work whereunto I have called them. I'm fearful and afraid many times that people just go to a place because they feel like it'd be a good place to do a work. Well, I don't know of a place that wouldn't be a good place to do a work, or there'd be a need. Any place that you'd ever name or think of. I had a man, we were talking to the man, and this is an idea, just the gist of it. And he said, well, that he'd been in a church in a certain place, and he's thinking about leaving, and he even really wondered if he ought to have been there to begin with. And I thought, that blows my mind. Because I ain't going nowhere by God's grace, I'll say this. I'm not going anywhere that I don't, and I'm not fully convinced that it's the Lord's will for me to be there. And the Holy Spirit is leading or guiding or directing. Now, I know, and I only know that one day at a time. I only know I'm where I ought to be for today. I might not ought to be here tomorrow. Now, that's nothing new. That's just saying, you know, we are open to the will of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you can't nail it down ironclad and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The Lord willing, you're going to do this or you're going to do that. So I believe that the work whereunto I have called thee, and they were church sent. Because look here in verse 3. And I underline the word here. When they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And notice, they sent them away. The Holy Spirit called, and the Holy Spirit led, and the Holy Spirit directed, and the church sent. And I believe this is the order of carrying out this commission. And it's very important, the method of carrying out this commission. Now, in essence, we would see that they were church-supported. Now, I don't believe that there's nothing wrong with one of the Lord's churches helping another. There's not a thing wrong with that. We have example of it in the New Testament. We're able to help other churches who have their own missionaries. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because they're using the method that God has ordained, or the method that God has designed. And we have other churches that help support our missionaries. It's not a swap-up thing or something like that. But as they feel led of the Lord, as they feel directed. And so there's not only the means that God has given us as a church to carry out the commission, but there's the method that God has laid down for us to carry out the commission. I believe today that we need to be church conscious. When I'm talking about church conscious, I'm talking about the local church. I'm talking about a body of baptized believers in a location that you can see them, that have been banded together by the Holy Spirit, and that you can become a part of that body and join. That's what I'm talking about. And we today as churches need to be church conscious. It would be a blessing to the Lord if every member of our church could become church conscious. Knowing that God had added them to this body, this is where the Lord would have them to faithfully serve Him. And this is where, with their time and their talent and their talents, belong to the church that God has added them to. Not all gallivanting around some other service of some word not. We have people that are committing spiritual adultery. They're doing these things. And the reason for it is that they're not church conscious. They're not conscious of the commission and how the Lord ordered or ordained not only the means but the method of carrying out the commission. And so you have a lot of something. I don't know what you call it. You have a lot of something. You don't swap places going to church. You go where the Lord adds you. Where you go, that's where your tithes belong. That's where your talent belongs. That's where you belong. That's where you're a part. A member of that body. This is just a plain, simple truth. But you know, today, in this age, we're in the age of ecumenicalism. You know, this is a truth that people abhor. They abhor local church truth and the commission that was given to the Lord's church. So it's wonderful that the Lord, in His Word, has given us the New Testament pattern. We're responsible to Him that we carry out this New Testament pattern. I thought of them as they went on this missionary journey here, and it went out. They went to Seleucia, Salamis, Paphos, Perga, Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Pisidia, Perga, Attalia. But then look what happened in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, and there in verse 23 of this 14th chapter, it said, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and in praying and fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." As they went out, sent by the church at Antioch on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, they saw the need of churches being organized. And then they saw the need of those churches having elders in those churches to where they could preach and teach the Word of God. Then if you'll notice in the 26th verse, down through verse 28. Then sailed to Antioch. Where to go back to? And thence sailed to Antioch. They went back to Antioch. That's where they left from. And then sailed to Antioch, from which they were recommended the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so this was the method that was used here. They returned to their church and rehearsed all that God had done with them. And would you imagine, it was an exciting time. I thought about how exciting it was and how excited Brother France was when he just told me, wasn't no small thing he told me, of what God had done for them in their church. And how excited that he was. And I thought about how excited I was when I read it in the Berean Baptist Banner. I got the first sense of it. I told Major, I said, look what's happened. Look what's taken place. Now, I like this method of the missionary informing his home church of God's blessings. I think it's a good policy for supporting churches to always receive a report. I believe that missionaries ought to be honest enough to give a report. You don't necessarily have to be monthly. It could be quarterly. Or, you know, you have the time. I believe it ought to be a report of what's happening, what's going on, both with dealing with people and finances. I believe there ought to be a financial report. This has just been a thinking of my own. This is not a church policy here. Not anything a church policy. Thinking of my own. I've always felt like that a fellow that won't give you a financial support, a report, ought not to receive any support. Not that I'm saying that he's dishonest, but I believe that if a church is interested in helping another church with a missionary, I believe at least they ought to be told how the money's being spent and what's happening. You don't have no control or say over it. You just say, we're giving to be used by that church in the work of the Lord. It'd be good for us to practice that. This would be in the control of the missionaries home church. And I believe that we don't have any right over another church. Now, God used this method for the church at Antioch and their missionaries to see people saved, baptized, churches organized, and elders ordained. And the method is no different today. You don't have to deviate from that method. So we see that in carrying out this commission, He's given us the means, He's given us the method, and He always gives us the messengers. Somebody said to me, and I think this has been said many times, and we are no doubt living in the last days, and some of our brethren, I hear them say from time to time, say, well, you don't see many, the Lord calling many young men to ministry. I don't know of any. And, you know, sometimes people are, we get real concerned and we begin to wonder, well, now the Lord ain't going to be caught empty-handed. In other words, what I'm saying is, if the Lord intends for a church to come into existence, the Lord's going to have somebody in mind to pastor that church and to lead that church. That's His design. The design is that way. And probably it could be the possibility, I think, this way, that we're not going to need any more. Because the ones that God has given us now is going to ride this thing out. Going to be with the churches until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these messengers, I believe, are very important, and He uses messengers in carrying out the commission. If you'll turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and verse 15, and listen to His design here. He says this. He says, how then shall they call on Him of whom they have not heard, or believe? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And we saw an example of the method in Acts 13, verse 1 through 3. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, this is not my idea or my design. This is God's design. And the Lord has given this design using messengers to carry, for the Lord's church to carry out the commission. I believe that they're God appointed. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 through 13 says this. For unto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed in getting Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then I believe as they are God called and God appointed and God sent, they'll go forth as Paul did with a burning desire in his heart that he might see Israel saved. There'll be a burning heart. There'll be a burning within their bones, and they will carry on in detail the Lord. And the commission not only has the means, and not only has the method, and not only has the messenger, but the commission has the message. What is the message? What is the message? That our church is responsible to preach to an unsaved world, to men and women and boys and girls that are lost. It's this message. Oh, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Paul said to Timothy, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus said Himself, the Son of Man hath come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life.
And I'm thankful that the Lord is pleased to give his church a commission. Now, we have that privilege and responsibility. It's a New Testament church. He's given us the means. He's designed the method. He's given us the messenger. And he's given us the message. And the Lord's church is not going to be a failure. It's not. So may the Lord enable us, and may the Lord help us to understand this commission that God has given us as a church. It's a privilege. It's a real privilege. To be a church that we know and feel in our hearts that the Lord has commissioned us. And we ought to endeavor, by the grace of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to carry out this commission according to God's design. We ought to, by the grace of God, not let ourselves become so entangled with the affairs of the world or with the other thoughts of religionists of our day that can cause us to deviate. And that's possible. It's not probable, it's possible. And the temptation is there. The temptation will be there for the Lord's purpose. I'm thankful that he has committed unto us as a church the commission. We have the privilege. He's not left us in the dark about it either. We ought to praise him for such a responsibility and such a privilege. We stand singing him in closing.